Well, I entitled this Stop Trying to Take Control of Your Life. And I put an exclamation mark after it because that's something that the Father's been working on my heart. You have a really good memory. You might remember 3 years ago I shared something with the soaking group. Some of you have been here a lot long that may have recalled that I was dealing with another issue where I was trying to take control. Nearly killed myself and flying over the Atlantic Ocean and not being able to go to the bathroom.
9 hours.
So, ever since then, the Father just continued to deal with me on control and letting Him be in control and not me being in control. And I put together a godly belief that when Father's in control, things go well. I used to have this ungodly belief that I had to be in control for things to be able to go well. And so one of the scripture verses that I really have been keeping in my heart is Mark 10:27, where with men it's impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. I really like the Message version of that. It really drives home where I want to go tonight. Jesus was blunt. He said, no chance at all if you think you can pull this off yourself. Every chance in the world if you let God do it. And I just like the way that's phrased because that's where I've been finding myself for the last 3 years now, allowing Father to father me and not trying to control everything in my life and not trying to even do things the right way and getting involved in right and wrong and pursuing that whole thing, that I want Him to direct my path. It says the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and the righteous man, the Lord directs his path. And that's where I really wanted to allow myself to go. And it hasn't been easy because all my life, that way I lived my life was I controlled everything. I was a big controller and tried to control my wife, and I got into all kinds of problems and issues. That's difficult to control your wife. Doesn't work very well. So, this last year, I really was impacted by Mark Jide's book, Father to You, and one of the statements he makes in there is that his children are the only ones who really know him as Father because they've allowed him to father them. And the whole concept of the Lord speaking into my heart, you haven't really allowed me to father you. And I started thinking about it and realizing, you're right, I treated my Heavenly Father the way I treated my earthly father. I withdrew from that relationship when I was about 11 years old, and I stopped allowing Him to father me. I did everything on my own. I took charge of my own life and had pretty minimal interactions with my father, so I really didn't even let Him try to father me in a lot of areas, and in a lot of ways He wasn't able to. He just wasn't capable of or knowing what to do or how to help me in fathering me in certain areas. And so that was a reality check for me that that's the way I was doing things with my Heavenly Father. I would have a project and I thought I knew how to do it, and I wouldn't even ask the Heavenly Father for help because I thought I could do it, and I'd get into all kinds of problems and take things, put them together and take them apart because they weren't working right, and drilling extra holes and things and thinking I had to do this and that, and oh, it was really not good. I still remember trying to do the basement ceiling. That was one of my early projects, and trying to keep it level, and I kept putting shims under the things that the tiles were going to be stapled to. And I was about halfway down and I'm thinking, man, this floor can't possibly be this far off. I was building shims like we're a couple inches wide, and I realized every time I was just a little bit off and a little bit off. By the time I was halfway down, I had to rip it all out and realize I checked and, well, the floor was pretty low. They put it in pretty level. I didn't really need to shim anything up to get a flat ceiling. But I wasted hours and hours and hours just in trying to do it myself, my own, not asking for any help or guidance. So I started really digging into this more, and the Lord started opening up a couple things I want to share with you this evening. And one of those, I realized that I was even getting over into control, trying to walk by faith. A lot of the faith teachings that we got when we first were introduced to the whole message of faith through Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and all the faith teachers was that they had these lists. There's 5 steps to getting your prayers answered, 10 steps to seeing miracles in your life, and you do this and you do that, and you got to get the sin out, and you got to read your Bible, you got to confess the Word, and all these different do's and don'ts that get your faith working. And for me, that was a real good draw to suck me into, because I like lists and I like working with lists and following these steps and stuff. And so I realized that what I was doing was taking control of trying to walk by faith. And that really shocked me when I realized that all these things that these faith teachers were saying were Bible truths. They had put together things they had read and saw in the scriptures, and they had seen them work in their own lives, and they were convinced that if everybody did this, they would have great faith. They'd have strong faith, and they'd see their prayers answered and see miracles and healings in their bodies, and everything would be wonderful. But I wasn't seeing that. In fact, it was always frustrating to me, because every time I got to the place where I thought I was doing it right, then hear another message or read another article, and they say, well, you got to do this too. And I say, oh, that's why I'm not seeing anything happening in my life. I got to do this thing too. And I tack that onto my list of everything that I was supposed to do. Problem was, it wasn't that what they were sharing was bad. I think there was a lot of truth and a lot of good there. But yeah, like Sue's pointing to her head, I was all in my left brain, logical thinking and stuff, and not really allowing it to come from my heart, and not really doing what the Father was telling me to do. And instead, I didn't ask Him. It was that same old pattern from the way I treated my earthly father that I didn't even bother to ask Him. They told these people who saw this great success, told me this is how to do it, and that's what I would do. Well, one of the first ones I remember is Jerry Seville and his 5 steps to answered prayer. And just share them briefly with you to see what I'm talking about. He had these 5 steps. Faith hears, and he used the Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith sees. Everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him shall have everlasting life, John 6:40. Faith believes. Jesus said to the blind man, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Matthew 9:28. Faith speaks. Whoever says to this mountain, the famous faith verses of Mark 11:23 and 24. Faith stands, a great verse on faith, Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, stand until you see the answer. And it all sounded great, but it wasn't working for me, because it wasn't coming from my heart, it was still coming from my head. And it was really getting over into operating under the law and getting myself operating out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil rather than out of the tree of life and out of my heart. And what we really need to do is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and our spirit, and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through our heart to what we are to do, and then following that direction. And all this was all happening to me, and going through a lot of this, when I heard a message by James Jordan talking about living a love-driven life. And really, I had progressed from seeing it as a have to, like the faith teachers were saying, you have to do this and do that in order for your faith to work, to jumping over the line to realizing, well, really the attitude in my heart needs to be one that I want to do it because I want to please the Father. And I thought I had arrived. But then I heard James Jordan's message, and he was talking about we do it out of a motivation of love. Mm-hmm. And that really hit my heart the closest of all. And he talked about living a love-driven life, that everything we do out of an attitude and a heart of love. And that would include Father in this formula, because he is love, and we work in harmony with him and allow him to show us what we should and should not do, things start working a lot better. And then I realized that I can also take control when I try to understand things out of my head and trying to figure things out or figure out why my faith isn't working or what things do I need to do, and getting into the why and when questions, which really just destroy your faith. We start asking why, God, did this happen, or you didn't stop this, or didn't happen. Those questions just kill our faith. And I was also just continually examining myself. All right, I'm not seeing the healing that I'm believing for in my body. Maybe I need to have more faith. Maybe I need to confess more healing scriptures out loud. Maybe I need to build up my faith some more by reading the Bible. Maybe I need to pray more. And I just kept coming up with all these left brain thinking approaches to doing things, and I was just taking control of my life again instead of stepping back and saying, all right, this isn't working, Father, what is it that I need to do differently? And that's where I would share some of my frustrations with Sue, and she would always come back to me. She was trying to get me to change, and I wasn't picking up on it very quickly. She would say, well, what does Father say to do here? Or what, have you asked Father about that yet? And I just used to get frustrated, and I still can get frustrated when she does that to me, because I realize, oh man, I've done it again. I've gotten over trying to control my life again, and Sue's just kind of like the Holy Spirit helper pointing out, did you ask Father about this yet? And, no, I didn't think I needed to. So it's not necessarily that any of those things that I was thinking I should do were bad, and in fact, the Father, after I would ask him, sometimes that part of what I would do, but I was doing it out of an attitude of love as a son, responding to the Father and allowing him to father me. And at times too, I would just remember that the faith teachers would say, you need to do this in order to get your faith to work. And it was all about getting my faith to work. It was all about working by faith. And yet we were listening to messages talking about walking in sonship as walking in rest and peace. And you don't have to work your faith. Faith works by love. And by walking in love and by allowing a love-driven life, faith works a lot better. And when we try to get faith to work on all the self-effort and self-control that we try to do on our own. And then I started thinking about some other areas, and I could see that there were some other ways that I was trying to control things, or I was letting other people control me. I was letting these faith teachers control what I was doing. I was listening to pastors and teachers and reading books instead of asking Father what he wanted me to do. So I was allowing other people even to control me. And I could listen to what the doctor says and what medical science says about something, or what I looked up on the internet, that this must be the truth. And really, oh, they all are truths, but not all of them are the truth. There are only truths that even medical science, there's some things that medical science doesn't know. Like it can go so far, and they're out of suggestions and knowing what to do, how to take care of it. So they're operating on a truth, which has been proven by testing and different procedures they've done, and they've worked on a lot of people. And so there is a measure of truth there, but the truth is what the Bible says and what we need to really be lining ourselves up with. So I was starting to really get deeper and deeper into this, and I started thinking about it, and really it all boils down to is walking in as a son and allowing the Father to father me. And that's exactly the example that Jesus taught us in his 3 years of ministry, when he was in the full part of his ministry time before he went to the cross. And he said, I don't do anything but what the Father says for me to do, and I don't do anything but what I see the Father doing. Instead of trying to build up strength in myself and trying to make the decisions myself without consulting him or asking him or allowing him to show me. So it's letting the Father take control of my life in some new areas and stop trying to figure things out of myself that I'm walking in that level of sonship. It's part of what Jesus talked about, the spirit of sonship, but that there's a place in which you get the revelation of the love of the Father and the revelation of yourself being a son, to the place where that spirit of sonship comes upon you and it becomes greater and stronger in you, and it's easier and easier to be at rest and peace all the time. So we're on John 5:19-20. And this is out of the message. So Jesus explained himself at length. I'm telling you this straight. The Son cannot independently do a thing, only what he sees the Father doing. What the Father does, the Son does. The Father loves the Son and includes him in everything he's doing. I like that. Father loves the Son and includes him in everything that he's doing. That's good. So it's just as giving the control over to the Father and really developing that Father-Son relationship and working together with the Father, because the Father always knows best. And some of you are old enough to remember that TV series that was on for several years, Father Knows Best. But really, that's...
That's going back.
Goes back to cut out probably a few of you.
Back in the 60s.
Is that one? Is
it? No, it might be the late
50s.
Really going back.
But Father does know best. That's the bottom line. And he has our interest at heart. He's full of wisdom. He knows the ending. He knows how to do everything. He's all-knowing and all-understanding. And all we have to do is ask. And he has a good future for us. He has a good plan for our lives. And if we stick with him in that father-son relationship, just like a good father is going to work with his son to help him fulfill the plans and desires that are in his heart to be all that, you know, he can be as he grows into adulthood. And it's all about trust. We just have to trust the Father. Trust is a huge part of leaving control behind and letting Father be in full control, and we can fully trust him because he only has good for us and he loves us. So tonight, if you don't have anything else that you come seeking to explore with the Father, or you might ask the Father to show you if there's any areas in your life where you still need to give over control. There's some areas in your life where you need to be a little more trusting and letting him, allowing him to father you in those areas, and let's see what he says.
Or where he, I hear him saying, or where he wants to pour more love in so that he can trust.